The General Services Administration is once again trying to change one of the acquisition rules that industry despises the most. It's the price reduction clause. It's cost some companies millions. A proposed rule released today would modernize the way vendors list their prices on the schedule contracts that are run by GSA. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now to discuss this proposed rule and several other acquisition priorities coming up. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so just give us a quick background on the price reduction clause and how GSA would like to possibly change it.
Well, this price reduction clause is included in every GSA schedules contract, so something like 18,000 vendors. So every vendor must abide by the rule that requires the government to get the vendor's best or lowest price no matter what. So let me give you a real simple example, Tom. If a vendor sells one widget for $1 to agency X and then sells that same widget to agency Y or even a commercial company for 75 cents, then the company needs to give agency X a reduced cost. They need to go back and give the money back. Now, if they don't do that, or most of the time happens, if they don't know that they offered a lower price to another organization, and that's where the False Claims Act lawsuits come from, whether it's the Justice Department or IGs or whistleblowers. Now, granted, Tom, I've simplified this process a great deal, but the problem is vendors are getting so large, multinational, global, that they don't know every single price that they give to every single organization they sell to, and therefore they get caught up in this False Claims Act. Secondly, vendors, experts say this is not the way the commercial world works. Nobody works this way. It's all at the task order level, not at the contract level. So what GSA is proposing to do in a rule that we have linked up on federalnewsradio.com is to fix and update the price reduction clause. In short, this is the rule would do several things. First, it would require vendors to report transactional data back to GSA, including data elements such as unit measure, quantity of items sold, universal product code, and potentially prices paid per unit and the total price. The second part of the proposal would implement a pilot with first using the non-scheduled contracts, so the GWACs, government-wide acquisition contracts, and then phase in along the scheduled contracts this idea of transactional data reporting. Then finally, GSA says they would no longer track vendor pricing like they do now, but they would establish price and quality metrics and identify commercial benchmarks prior to the launch of this pilot, so GSA could perform these analyses and measure the results and the impact of the pilot. Now, Anne Rung is the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. She said the price reduction clause proposal is part of a broader effort to improve the federal acquisition system, but she knows this PRC has been a thorn in vendor side for some time. I caught up with Rung yesterday after she spoke at the Acquisition Excellence Conference in Washington.
The time is right for a discussion. The proposed rule is going to be a pilot, and it's designed to help streamline the regulation. It's also going to be paired with a prices paid rule. So we look forward to getting comments.
So GSA plans to hold an industry day about this proposed rule April 17th, and then the rule is also going to be open for comments for the next 60 days through May 4th. Rung says industry has made it clear that the price reduction clause is problematic and needs updating. She says the proposed rule is part of OFPP's broader data analytics effort.
What we heard from industry in our last national dialogue was the price reduction clause was a big pain point. So this very much ties into responding to industry on how we can streamline and reflect better commercial practices. Also, the prices paid piece is critical to our category management, right? So if we're going to share this information, we need to start collecting that data.
One of the things about a proposed rule, it's going to take a while. I mean, to get to a final rule could take a year, could take 18 months. Is the pilot something that's going to happen in the shorter time frame? What's the order, I guess, or what's your short and long term around this?
I think the vendors will want an opportunity to provide comments on this, and so it'll go through the normal rulemaking process. So I can't speak to whether it'll be faster or longer than normal.
Now, Rung says there are no plans to issue a rule with an interim rule with requests for comments, which typically does when there's a really need for this rule. And I think all the vendors will tell you there is a need for this rule.
Well, yeah, some of the vendors that have been caught sometimes by their own whistleblowers or whatever in violation, even just a technical violation and not a willful violation of the price reduction clause, it's cost them in some cases tens of millions of dollars to settle.
In fact, the Justice Department, let me jump in, Tom, the Justice Department recorded a record almost $6 billion in civil, not criminal, but civil False Claims Act last year. So it's been growing every year since 2009.
All right. So industry, what has industry's reaction? I mean, do we know yet what their reaction is to this rule? It just came out I think this morning, right?
Just this morning, but you can get it early. If you know where to go, you can get it early, like I did. So the industry knew this was coming. They were able to read the Federal Register notice early. And a lot of people say, yes, finally, GSA is addressing this. Because if you remember, the multiple award advisory schedule, the MAS panel, recommended that agencies address the regulation as soon as possible, even removing it, and ensure competition at the task order level. But over the last 8 years, GSA really hasn't done a lot with the price reduction clause. They recognize the need to fix it, but they never really seriously acted to change it. So, but Larry Allen is the CEO of Allen Federal Partners and a longtime GSA observer, and he is one of the ones that says, yes, finally, they're doing this. This is an important first step. But there are some big potholes that GSA needs to be aware of. Allen says, for instance, tracking and reporting transactional data imposes significant costs on businesses, very much small businesses at that. He says GSA got away from that specific requirement to provide transactional data on schedule contracts because they knew it was costly and time-consuming. He's worried that this proposal could take vendors back to the mid-1990s when GSA used, Tom, tell me if you remember this, discount schedule and marketing data sheets, or DSMD sheets.
I have to admit, that one's just a little bit arcane, even for me, to remember that one.
I had to go to the Google for that one, because they were using that to collect pricing data back in the mid-90s. Allen says, while removing the tracking of customer requirement from the price reduction clause is a nice step, it also falls short to eliminating the entire clause as the MAS panel recommended. So he goes, it's a small carrot to dangle in front of the collective stick of other requirements. He asks, why not just get rid of it altogether? Just get rid of the price reduction clause. I also talked to Roger Waldron, the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. He's excited about the public meeting. He thinks that's going to be a very positive step to let vendors and others talk about the changes. He also has some concerns, including how GSA would use that transactional data. He's worried that if it's only used to drive prices down, no matter the terms and conditions, then GSA is getting toward, or the government's going toward, what he calls low price regardless. Waldron also says there's some potentially good aspects of the proposal, so it's good that GSA is starting this dialogue. And he, you know, that's why this build up to the April 17th Industry Day will be so important, and then the day itself.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And Anne Rung had a lot of other changes she mentioned that vendors and agencies need to be watching for over the next few months.
Oh, my hands are typing fast at that Acquisition Excellence Conference. She was on a roll in terms of giving us an update, a three-month update from her December 4th memo, where she outlined really a three-pronged approach to improving the federal acquisition process. In the short term, I'll start off with category management. She says that will continue to expand specifically in the IT category.
Our goal is within the next 3 months to have all the contracts bureau-wide, agency-wide, and government-wide in the IT commodity management area online in this site and available for use by our contracting officers. The idea here is that it's intended to allow you to find and compare existing solutions so you can make better decisions. Additionally, to help manage our focus on the IT category, we'll be hiring an IT category manager at OMB, who will work with Tony Scott, our new federal CIO, me, and Mary Davey at GSA to improve our buying and demand management practices for the more than $25 billion spent annually on IT commodities such as hardware and software. We're also hiring an IT vendor manager that will reside in GSA, who will provide full-time focus on improving relationships with key types of vendors, especially those who have multiple contracts for similar goods and services.
Now, Rung says she expects both positions to be posted for, you know, job openings this spring and hired by the summer. The IT vendor manager will work within GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy, while the IT category manager, as you heard, will work closely both with her office but really reside in OMB's eGov and IT office. Now, along with IT hallway, Rung says GSA will launch a tech FAR hub on the Common Acquisition Platform, and that's where the hallways reside. She says the hub also will support a federal buyer's club that will include best practices and strategies to be innovative, buy IT better. This idea of Federal Buyers Club actually is something the HHS really pioneered, but she would like to see every agency have one. And in fact, the White House, the president included money for a pilot program across five agencies in 2016. Another initiative that will take a bit longer, but we'll focus on vendor feedback, is something that's coming up that Rung says was first piloted by GSA under the OASIS contract, and that will now be expanded.
In a few weeks, I will be issuing guidance to the agencies that directs them to seek feedback from vendors and from internal stakeholders such as contracting officers and program managers on how well specific high-dollar information technology acquisitions were run. So the title of this is called Acquisition 360, and it's the first ever transaction-based feedback tool that will allow agencies to identify strengths and weaknesses in their acquisition process with a focus on pre-award activities, contract execution, and certain post-award activities such as debriefings. And this initial effort will give us experience with such a tool and will allow us to gain significant insight into where our weak points are and where we're doing well so we can share that with other partners.
She said under the pilot for Oasis, the vendors were asked 15 questions. The full program will ask those same 15 questions, but it's also going to ask industry to rate specific procurements, ask contracting managers to rate program managers, and program managers to rate contracting managers along those same 15 questions, really targeted at those specific IT procurements. Now, she says the ratings are not meant to focus on people, but the acquisition process itself. And she wanted to be clear about that because she did not want people to think that people are going to be nasty to each other and say, well, John, you know, doesn't wear his tie, and Mary hair looks funny. You know, they really want to look at, did the acquisition process go well? Now, Rung says she also has plans to support the technical side of the digital services team that each agency is developing.
The goal is for the program for training acquisition specialists in digital IT. The program would begin this summer, and we'd have our first class of certified digital IT acquisition specialists by the end of the calendar year. And ideally, when you have the digital teams up and running in the agencies, they would be partnered with the technologists in the agencies.
And these are specifically for how to buy in this approach?
It's to have a team of acquisition specialists that really know how to write the requirements and handle the acquisition.
Rung says that the program to certify these acquisition experts actually will be developed through a challenge on challenge.gov. Where OFPP will pick three and test out those different approaches. She says, for instance, classroom training may be one approach, but not the only approach. A couple other things real quick, Tom. OFPP is developing some cross-functional training for integrated product teams who are working on procurements for digital services. And additionally, OFPP is looking at digital services training for agency general counsels, other senior leaders, and even financial management workers so they can better understand what it takes to buy in an agile approach. And finally, the Federal Acquisition Institute also is developing a seminar on agile acquisitions. This will be available to all federal employees come this April. So as you can see, there's a ton going on, including, Tom, a new podcast from Ann Rung on innovation strategies and a new program with IACT called Lifting the Veil to improve industry and government communications. We will be following all of this as they roll out over the next 6 or 9 months.
Well, I would say that her 20 minutes of speech was the most compact but the most filled with facts that I've heard in a long time from any federal executive.
She was very good, and she had a ton to say, and you really get a sense of what has happened and where they're going, not just over the last 3 months, but where they're going looking forward, which, as a news reporter, Tom, we appreciate a lot.
We do. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thank you so much for that report.
My pleasure.